From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. Let's get that one again, just to make sure that we got it. All right, so from Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. We actually began this sermon last week when we found out that John Mark was part of this missionary journey that was undertaken primarily by Saul and Barnabas. If we go back to chapter 12, where we saw this group of people leave, remember, they were there in Antioch. They were trying to, well, at the end of chapter 12, beginning of chapter 13, chapter 12, Saul, Barnabas goes and finds Saul, brings Saul with him, and there we see that in Antioch, they were praying, they were prophesying, and they were fasting and serving God, and God says, I want you to set apart. I want you to set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul. I want you to get these guys ready so that they can serve me in a special way. And this special way that they were to serve them was in missionary work. They were to travel around and they were going to spread the gospel to places where the gospel hadn't been heard, and largely to places where there was a large Gentile population. This is what we see leading up, is going to take us all the way to chapter 15, where we see this conflict between Jewish Christian and Gentile Christian come to a head. But right now, we see that this is building, this tension is building, but it hasn't quite reached its fullness yet, because the gospel is going out to the nations. It is going out to the Gentiles. It is going forth, and Saul and Barnabas are sent. And one of them who goes with them, and he isn't mentioned there in chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, is John Mark. God calls, the Holy Spirit calls Barnabas and Saul, but we don't hear that John Mark is called. Instead, we're simply told that John Mark is there, that he's with them, that he is someone who is there as an assistant. It tells us there in verse 5, John was with them as their helper. God had sent John to go with them, but he wasn't called to this missionary work. And this is an important distinction. We'll see why this is important later. John's mission was not to be a missionary right now. John's mission, as far as we can tell, was not to be this set-apart prophet teacher. He was there to assist Barnabas and Saul. When the Holy Spirit calls among these five men, Barnabas and Saul are called. Not John, but John, who comes from a probably fairly prominent family in Jerusalem. John, who is a nephew slash cousin of Barnabas, that different translations treat it differently, he goes with them. And this story is picked up again here in chapter 13. Luke makes these two comments that almost seem like throwaway comments. You look at verse 6. They traveled through the whole land. Verse 5. When they arrived in Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. Why are you telling us this, Luke? Why are you giving us this information? We don't really know who John is. He's been mentioned earlier as the home where people were meeting when they were praying for Peter. I don't know if you remember that passage. It was probably several weeks ago, so it's way back in the ancient past. But just a few weeks ago, we see that in Jerusalem, John Mark's mother has a home. And that's where a lot of Christians were meeting. And John is here with them now. Why does Luke give us this piece of information? Why does he tell us this? Well, seemingly he tells us for no other reason than to tell us in verse 14, again, in almost a throwaway comment. It doesn't even get a whole sentence. It's just a clause. And there, John left them. John separated himself from them, and he returned to Jerusalem. Why are we getting this detail? One of the best rules of studying the Bible, a rule that I have for myself, is whenever you read something in the Bible, you should ask, why is it in here? That's just a good rule for reading. If it's important enough to be in here, it obviously was important to the author. And since the Bible has both the human author and the divine author, it was obviously important enough for the Holy Spirit to put in here. So why does the Holy Spirit think that it's absolutely important that we know, almost as throwaway comments, well, that John was with them as their helper, and later we find out, and John left them. John separated himself from them. John abandoned them and returned to Jerusalem. Why? Turn with me, if you would please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you get to 1 Timothy, keep going. If you get to James, you've gone too far. So 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's begin in verse 6. Paul writing to Timothy, this is his second letter to Timothy. He is there in the dungeon, the Roman dungeon. He is preparing to die. He is going to die in very short order. He has a death sentence over him. And Paul writing to Timothy, he says this, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing." Paul is writing this and he is saying, I have kept the faith. I have done what God has called me to do. I have fulfilled my ministry. I have fulfilled my mission. I haven't flinched. I haven't failed. I haven't faltered. I have stuck with it. And I am going to be rewarded. And he's saying this in the context of telling Timothy all the advice that we see in chapter, really, the middle of chapter 3 and following, where he's telling Timothy, Timothy, don't give up. Don't stop. Don't quit your ministry. Chapter 4, verse 1, look at what he says. He says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Paul is about to die. He is going to have his head cut off. He has received a death sentence and he is in a dungeon. And he is telling Timothy, be ready. Don't stop. Don't quit the ministry. And when you're in that ministry, don't just go through it half-heartedly. Be prepared in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why? Because the time is coming when people will no longer endure sound doctrine. People are going to run after people because they've got itchy ears. And they're going to want somebody who's just going to tell them what they want to hear. But you, verse 5, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge the duties of your ministry. Paul is writing to his true son in the faith. I can't emphasize this enough. Paul is about to die, and he is writing his true son in the faith, and he is saying, I have endured hardship. I have been prepared in season and out of season. I have done the work of ministry that God has for me. I have done it. I have fought the fight. I've kept the faith. I've run my race, and now I'm going to be rewarded. I am going to my reward. I'm not going to my death. Although he was, I'm going to my reward. He's telling Timothy, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what men can do. And then we get to this really important part, the part that's really important for this morning. So you got to know the context of what Paul's writing. He is trying to encourage Timothy that no matter what, never, ever, ever stop. If God has called you to a ministry, and God had called Timothy, God has called you to this. You are an elder in the church. You are a preacher. You are an evangelist. You are a missionary. God has called you to this. Never, ever quit. Never, ever falter. Never, ever compromise the word of God. Stand strong, Timothy. And then he follows up with these personal remarks. And he's telling Timothy, do your best to come to me quickly. Verse 10, very, very well-known verse. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark. And bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander, the metalworker, Alexander did me harm. Be prepared for men like him. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them, but the Lord who stood at my side gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul is talking to Timothy. Timothy, who hasn't seen him a long time. Timothy is in Ephesus. Paul is in Rome. And he is telling him, listen, he's giving him all this encouragement, and he's saying, I have suffered in the ministry. I have suffered since I came to Rome. He said, everyone but Luke has abandoned me. Some of them went on to do legitimate ministry. Some of them, you know, Titus and Crescens, they went on to fulfill actual ministry. But Demas, he just ran away. And when I was on my trial, the kind of like the Roman version of indictment, no one stood up in my defense. All the people who could have been witnesses in my favor refused to testify on my behalf because they were afraid. Paul is abandoned. Paul is abandoned. He is alone, humanly speaking. He has one person with him. Luke is with him. Luke, the author of Acts, is with him. Turn back with me to chapter 15 of Acts. You can bookmark 2 Timothy, that'll be good, but go back with me to chapter 15 of Acts. Because see, we have these two throwaway comments about John, and then we have another comment about John Mark, that is, in 2 Timothy, but there's one other place where he's mentioned that's really important. Look with me in chapter 15. And what we see in verse 36 is after this great council, the great Jerusalem council that decides how the Jewish and Gentile conflict in the church, the conflict of obeying the law and circumcision versus grace in Christ, how that's resolved, and it's resolved, and the church should be at peace and harmony. But what happens? Verse 36 tells us, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the brothers where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. It's a good idea, Paul. Paul says, hey, why don't we go on another missionary journey, but this time we're going to go and we're going to strengthen all of the churches where we visited. Let's check on their faith. Let's see how they're doing. Let's make sure that they're still standing firm in the faith, and let's give them what encouragement we can. And Barnabas says, Paul, that's a great idea. He's Paul now, not Saul, but he says, Paul, that's a great idea. And Barnabas, remember Barnabas' name? He means the son of encouragement. His first name is Joseph. Barnabas is actually his nickname. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark. John Mark's his nephew, cousin, we don't know exactly, but John Mark's his family member, his blood relation. And Barnabas' name means the son of encouragement. Paul says, hey, let's go on this missionary journey. Let's go back to the places we've already been. And Barnabas says, great idea, Paul. Love it. Let's definitely do it. By the way, I'm going to bring Mark with us. And Paul says, no, you ain't. Absolutely not. Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. And they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. What happens here? Paul and Barnabas, these two guys who have been together for years, serving the church faithfully together. No external hardship could divide them. And I'm not going to preach this all now, but nothing external could divide them, but it was an internal conflict that divided these two men. And their conflict revolved around Mark. Mark deserted them. At the foot of the Taurus Mountains, these very dangerous mountains, mountains that were hard enough to pass, but even harder because of the bandits that roamed those mountains. They get ready to go. They're preparing to go, and they're ready. They're gonna march across the Taurus Mountains. That's where we are in chapter 13. And what happens? John says, I need to go back to Jerusalem. And he just goes. Luke doesn't tell us why. Nowhere are we told why. We just know that he deserts them. And he deserted them in such a fashion that Paul refused to bring him along. Paul refused. He says, I'm not giving him another chance. He failed me once. I cannot do that again. He is putting our lives in danger. We can't take him. And Barnabas says, give him another chance. Paul says, no, I'm not giving him another chance. He failed the ministry. Something happens between Acts 15 and 2 Timothy 4. Somewhere along that line, John Mark had restored himself. Somewhere along that line, but we don't know. But why? Why is this in here? Why is Paul telling us about all of this? Why is Luke telling us all about this? Why does the Holy Spirit want us to know? There are two easy answers. One, the easiest answer is about Luke. Who was Luke? Luke was a convert of Paul. He was a Gentile. And we notice in Acts that you go from they to we. Because when Luke was converted, he joined in alongside of Paul. He was a medical doctor. He was a brilliant writer. He was classically trained. And he joins in with Paul and the others. And for the rest of Paul's life, Luke never leaves his side. Luke never left Paul's side from the moment he was converted. He continues on with him, serving him. When they're in jail, when he's in jail by the Romans in Jerusalem and in Caesarea, Luke is with him. When they're passing on that ship, that grain ship going to Rome, Luke is with him. When he's in prison, Luke is with him. And in fact, this is speculation, but there are some scholars who believe that the only way Luke could have been with Paul and actually gone with him to Rome was if Luke had been his slave. If you were sent to see Caesar, you couldn't bring your buddies, you couldn't bring your wife, you could bring your slave as a personal servant. And it's very possible that Luke had allowed himself to be made Paul's slave so that he could travel with him and serve his needs as he traveled. Luke had seen his suffering. He had seen Paul stoned. He had seen Paul arrested. He had seen him beaten. He had seen him condemned. He had been with him on that shipwreck. He had seen him bitten by the viper on Malta. He had seen the miracles that he had done. He had seen him in prison. Luke had stood by when all the people who could have stood up in Paul's defense at his first trial just kept their mouths shut. He watched as Demas abandoned him. He watched this godly man be left behind by everybody. Luke alone stood by Paul. And he watched everybody else either leave him for legitimate ministry reasons or desert him out of fear. And I think that it is out of Luke's overwhelming love for Paul that he writes this. He's building up his friend. He's saying, this is a man who faced opposition everywhere. He met opposition from the world. He met opposition from the devil. He met challenges from the flesh, but he also faced dissension from the inside of the church. He faced conflict from people who opposed him, and he faced desertion. Luke wants us to see this because he saw it. He wants us to see what he saw. He wants us to feel the pain of abandonment that Paul must have felt. He doesn't go into the details. He doesn't sit here and condemn John. But he says, because Luke knows the end of the story, but he says he just left them. Yeah, he was there. Yeah, he left. And this caused this conflict between Paul and Barnabas. That's why Luke wants us to see it. Luke wants us to see it because Luke was a witness to the suffering that Paul faced. And he wants us to know that if you're going to serve God in this world, you're going to have to suffer. He wants us to see that if you're going to serve God in the world, people will abandon you. People will desert you. And not just your enemies are going to hate you, but sometimes your friends are going to leave you. Do your friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. It will happen. And Luke wants us to be aware of that. He wants us to be aware that sometimes serving God is a very lonely thing. Why does the Holy Spirit want us to hear this? Why does God want us to see this? I think there's another reason. Look with me really carefully at chapter 13. Now, we know where John lives. We've been told where John lives. We know where his house is. We got to join him in his house when Peter was miraculously escaped from prison by the help of the angel. And Rhoda's at the door. Peter comes, and they're all at John Mark's house. Well, John Mark's mom's house. We know where he lives. Look at what Luke says. He tells us that John left them to return to Jerusalem. Why would you say Jerusalem, Luke? Just say home. We know where his home is. Why is he telling us Jerusalem? This bothered me a lot. Now, you guys can tell that I don't live a very exciting life if this bothers me a lot. But this bothered me a lot as I was preparing for this message. And here's what I think the answer is. Now, you maybe you're going to hear this and you're going to say, Luke, you're crazy. I know you're good looking, but this is just beyond the pale. This is madness. But here's what I think. You look at the very beginning of Acts, and the Holy Spirit is going to be given to the church. Jesus tells them this. He says, but you will receive power, chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the Acts of the Apostles largely follows that outline of the ministry in Jerusalem, the ministry in Judea, the ministry in Samaria, and the ministry to the ends of the earth. The gospel is now going out to the ends of the earth. We've seen the ministry in Jerusalem. We've seen it in Judea. We've seen it in Samaria. And now for a couple chapters, we've seen it in the ends of the earth. Why does Luke write? Why does the Holy Spirit inspire Luke to write that Mark returned to Jerusalem and not that Mark returned back home? Why? Because Jerusalem is theologically significant to the book. Returning to Jerusalem is not just going back home. It's a reversion of the entire ministry. The whole idea of the Acts of the Apostles is that because the Jews had rejected Christ, because there is this happy accident, this eucatastrophe, as Tolkien would call it, there is this wonderful serendipitous blessing that goes out to all the Gentiles, that'd be you and me and others, because the Jews denied their Savior. So now there's the opportunity for everybody to hear the gospel. The church is extended to anybody, no matter what race or where they're from, no matter any of this stuff. They can hear the gospel and they can say yes and they can be part of the church. And it starts in Jerusalem and it moves out to the ends of the earth. When John Mark goes back home, what the Holy Spirit, I believe, is telling us is not simply that he abandoned Paul, not simply that he abandoned the ministry, not simply that he abandoned the charge given to him, not simply that he just turned his back on the work that he was supposed to be doing, but he turned his back on the overall ministry of the church. He turned his back on the mission of the Holy Spirit, which is to spread the gospel to the ends of the world. It is a reversion. It's going backwards. It's setting everything back. What I believe the Holy Spirit is telling us is that when we abandon the ministries to which God has called us, we are not only letting down that specific ministry, but we're denying the entire mission of the Holy Spirit. When we turn our backs, when we turn away from what God has called us to do, we're not just saying, no, I don't want to do that one thing. We're saying no to the whole ministry of the Holy Spirit, what God is doing in the world, what Christ is doing in the world. Brothers and sisters, the last couple years have not been friendly to the local church. Not the local church here, not the local church anywhere. Well, in Africa and in Asia, the local church is doing wonderfully, and God bless them for it. Pray for our brothers and sisters all over the world, because the church is growing by leaps and bounds in many places in the world, but not here in America. In America, people have been turning their backs on the church, which is, for most Christians, the local church is their primary ministry. For most Christians, they're not going out to the ends of the earth. They're serving God in their local church. And for years, people have been turning their backs on the local church. And what I'm saying is, that is not merely saying, I'd rather sleep in. Oh, it is saying, I'd rather sleep in. But it's a rejection of the entire mission of the church. It's a rejection of the entire mission of the Holy Spirit. It's a rejection of what God wants to do through His body. It's saying, I know that what Jesus wants to do is to spread the word throughout the world. But I don't want what Jesus wants. Now, is that too strong a language? Maybe. I don't think it is. When Christians reject the ministry to which God has called them, they are rejecting Christ. Now, am I saying that they're lost? No. Am I saying that they've lost their salvation? No. Am I saying they can't serve God? No. There is hope. It's not everything's over. Because what happens? We see that in chapter 15, John Mark, the one who abandoned them in the Taurus Mountains, he goes with Barnabas. We don't know what happens between chapter 15 of Acts and 2 Timothy 4. We don't know. The scripture doesn't give us any information about this. We believe, and church tradition tells us, that at some point along the line, John Mark joined up with Simon Peter, and he was a tremendous aid to Simon Peter. He wrote the Gospel of Mark. We know the story isn't over with John Mark. He goes and joins up with Peter. He writes the Gospel of Mark. His story isn't over. But he did abandon them. He abandoned Paul. He abandoned Barnabas. He turned his back on the mission of the church. He turned his back on what God wanted. And that's a bad thing to do. But there was still hope of redemption for him. Luke here, remember, Luke is writing about a fellow gospel writer. There were only four of them in all of history. That's a pretty elite class to be in. Luke is writing about another gospel writer. And he's telling us, yeah, John Mark stumbled. Yeah, John Mark failed. It's not important why he did. It's just important that he did. But he was restored. He was restored by Barnabas. He was used by Peter. And then at the very end of Paul's life, he says, please send John. Please send Mark. He's useful to me in the ministry. Two messages for this morning. Only two. One, if God has called you to something, don't abandon it. If God has called you to a ministry, don't abandon it. Don't turn your back on it. And it doesn't have to be some grand and glorious thing. It doesn't have to be traveling through the mountains of Turkey. Maybe it's vacuuming the sanctuary. Maybe it's volunteering at LifeWise twice a week. Maybe it's reading at the church. Maybe it's having kids sit with you during the service. Maybe it's sending that check faithfully to the ministry that gets the Word of God out. Maybe it's a ministry of prayer. Maybe it's preaching. Maybe it's teaching. Maybe it's serving at the shelter. Maybe it is going out to the ends of the earth. Whatever it is, don't abandon it. If God has something for you to do, it's important. If God thinks it's important, you certainly ought to. Don't abandon what God has for you. Don't turn your back on the ministry God has for you. And the second message is this, and it's especially pertinent today. Those who have walked away, seek to restore them. Be a son of encouragement. Be a Barnabas. Be a Botnabas. That would be the female version. Be a Batnabas. You know, that's not a very attractive sounding name, so don't name your daughter that. But you could if you really wanted to. Maybe I'll talk to Emily about that. But you know, but be a Barnabas. Be an encourager. Be someone who seeks to restore people to faith. Somebody walks away from the church. Somebody walks away from a ministry. Somebody walks away from their duties and responsibilities. Should they have done it? No. Can they be restored? Yes. Should we seek to restore them? Yes. You don't need to lay a guilt trip on people. Don't need to bash them. Don't need to harass them. Encourage them. Give them opportunities to serve the Lord. Give them opportunities to return to fellowship. Give them opportunities to be restored. John Mark, frankly, chapter 13 of Acts is not very impressive. He's a helper. He's a helper who can't hack it. And that could have been the end of his story. Could have been. But Barnabas didn't let that happen. Barnabas sought to restore him. Because Barnabas sought to restore him, we have the Gospel of Mark. We have Peter's Gospel. Because Barnabas chose to restore a man that he loved. Because Barnabas had hope that somebody could be restored to useful ministry. Brothers and sisters, let's not abandon our work and let's seek to restore those who've walked away. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for these words. Thank you for the story of John Mark's life. All of us, Lord, have walked away from work that you have for us. All of us have walked away from ministry. All of us have turned our back on things that you want us to do. And Lord, we pray for restoration. And we pray for restoration of brothers and sisters whom we love, people who've walked away, people who have wandered, people who have left, not just this church and our ministries and missions, but all of the church, people all over this country who have just walked away, who've abandoned their service to you. Lord, we ask, we pray for restoration. We pray that we would be the means of reconciliation. We would be Barnabases. We would encourage those who've walked away to be restored to faith. Lord, make it true in our own lives. Help us to be faithful and restore others to faithfulness. All this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.